Now, you heard a couple of very interesting passages of Scripture this morning, one from Jeremiah, one from the Gospel of Luke, which certainly brings up some interesting questions about what it is that was said and why it was said and what it means. But we can't get into it today because of the direction I do want to go with this sermon time this morning. I will say this, however, part of the reason why we read from the Bible, both the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, and the New Testament, and the Gospels, is because it represents the story of which we are a part. We here at the Church of the Good Shepherd did not simply emerge out of thin air, and here we are in 2019 just doing our thing because we thought it was a good idea, but we have a history that extends back many, many years. I mean, certainly to even before 1867, when Canada was established as a nation by that name. It goes back to the beginning of the Anglican Church, which would have been in the 1500s. It goes back further to the time of the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago, which is often understood to be the birthday of the church as a whole. But even then, it goes back even further, at least 1,500 years earlier than that, to the call of Abraham. The Bible tells our story. The Bible informs us of our story, because it's not simply what happens now, but what has happened in the past and how we are connected with that. But having said that, of course, the Church of the Good Shepherd here in Calgary does have a history for itself. We celebrated our 60th anniversary a little while ago, and now it's been over 61 years since the church was established. And I thought it would be helpful for us to explore some of that story. A few months ago, Al Miller gave me all of the annual meeting reports from the past 61 years of the church. And so I read them. I read the rector's reports and the warden's reports. And though the first few years, the report really was simply a financial report, it wasn't until the second priest came in, Reverend Green, that we started to actually get rector's reports. But it's a fascinating story to understand and to comprehend. And this morning, I thought it would be very helpful for us to revisit some of that, to understand the story of which we are a part and why we are here today. And so back in 1965, a woman named Elsie Buck wrote a little synopsis of the beginnings of this parish and read this out to the junior auxiliary, which I understand at the time was like a children's Sunday school kind of thing. And so here's what she wrote about the beginning of the church. In the spring of 1958, there was no Church of the Good Shepherd, no Sunday school, no women's auxiliary or junior auxiliary, no choir, no building, just a big field here with a tumble-down shack in it. There was only one church building in this area then, the Free Methodist. And so the Anglicans who lived around here were having to go a long way to the older churches, such as St. Martin's or St. Stephen's or the Cathedral. Then on the 20th of March, 1958, eight ladies, myself included, were asked to go to the home of one of the ladies who lived on Windermere Road, and there we met Miss Grace Solly. She was a church worker whom Bishop Calvert had sent out to talk to us about forming an Anglican church in this part of the city. She gave each of us a list of streets to canvass so that the whole district would be visited. You know how people go around to every house collecting money for the United Fund and that sort of thing? Well, we went knocking on doors and asking, "Are there any Anglicans living here?" In this way, we were able to make the first list of names and addresses of our church people. By the way, it was at that first meeting of the eight ladies that someone suggested Church of the Good Shepherd would be a nice name, and most of us liked it too. Later on, Bishop Calvert gave us permission for our new church to be called that. The next step came when the bishop asked that a meeting be held in Wildwood School Auditorium on May 5th, so a notice was sent to all the people on our brand new list. At this meeting, everyone voted in favor of establishing an Anglican church in this area, so now we felt the wheels could really start turning. At the end of May, there was another meeting held with the archdeacon in charge, and he told us that the Diocese of Calgary would lend us $35,000 to construct a church building on this land here, which the diocese owned. Then we had an election that same night to choose the first wardens and vestry. A few weeks later, the vestry talked with some architects about how to plan our building. In the meantime, we had our church services and Sunday school in Spruce Cliff School and Spruce Cliff Community Hall. In September, we were very happy when told that Reverend McMullen was to be our first rector. At that time, he was an assistant minister at St. Stephen's. On September 18th, There was a service in the field here, and the bishop blessed the land and turned over the first shovel of earth to show that construction could now begin. Do you remember when I said there was an old shack on this field? Well, permission was given by the city fire department to burn it up. And so one day we had a wonderful big bonfire. A branch of the women's auxiliary had been formed, and we used to meet at each other's houses. And with money raised from teas and bazaars, we bought all the china and cutlery in the cupboards here, enough to set the table for 100 people. I'm willing to bet that most of the china and cutlery down there is from that purchase 61 years ago. By December, our new building was nearly completed, and we had the first service in it the week before Christmas. The floor wasn't finished, so it was covered with big pieces of cardboard, and we sat on bright red chairs that had been borrowed from Mawata Armories. Later on, we heard that a church in Lethbridge was getting new pews, so we were able to buy their old ones, which are the ones upstairs now, and the men of the parish gave them a fresh coat of paint. I think these pews are newer than these ones here now, but anyway. And has anyone seen the children's altar downstairs? A little girl who belonged to our Sunday school was killed by a bear at Jasper, and donations for a memorial to her were sent in from all over. And this is what the parents, Jack and Gloria Coates, decided to use the money for. That altar, by the way, is being used right now as the children are being taught at Sunday school. Well, the first number of years, as I said, only really gave financial reports for the church. But when Reverend Green became the second rector of the parish, he wrote this report in January 1969. He said, "The past year has been a full one in the life of the parish. It marked the 10th anniversary, and this event was celebrated with a special anniversary services on Sunday, September 15th, when our former and much beloved rector, the Reverend Archie McMullen, returned to preach at the morning services. During the first week of Advent, our bishop, the Right Reverend Morse L. Goodman, led a mission in the parish. Those who attended gained a great deal from this week, and we are most appreciative to His Lordship for His kindness in coming to us in the midst of a busy schedule." Later on in his report, he says, "One of the very encouraging aspects of the work in the parish during the past year has been the involvement with teenagers. The AYPA, which was their youth group, is flourishing as never before. We meet every Sunday night after evensong, and in the last 12 months have listened to a variety of speakers, including psychiatrists, social workers, community volunteers, detectives, etc. Approximately every 2 weeks, the youth group has been sponsoring dances, which have been a great success, so great they've had to close the doors at about 9 p.m. Their fame has spread to many corners of the city, and every dance has been a sellout. Profits from this operation have gone to adopting a Hong Kong war orphan, aid to Biafra, and making repairs and improvements to the parish hall." It's neat to see that 10 years in, things were going, and things were happening, and things were being celebrated. A year later, though, Reverend Green had this to say, January 1970. "We are now in a new decade. The challenges are staggering. What of the church? Here in the Good Shepherd, attendances are down. This meeting may well decide to curtail the number of Sunday services. Our offerings, after going up steadily for several years, are down slightly in 1969. We have met all of our obligations, but in order to do so, it was necessary to use part of our Stampede booth profits to balance the general account. Previously, all Stampede profits went to debt retirement. The number of envelope subscribers is down, as are the total number of families on the parish list. In the terms of the day, it doesn't add up to one great success story. The fact that other parishes, Anglican, Roman Catholic, and Protestant, are in the same or even more precarious boat doesn't help us here. Despite these facts, I am glad that it is this year in which I am living, and although I am concerned, I do not despair. For the Christian, there is no situation which is hopeless. This is perhaps our role in a despairing world. We are here to proclaim a message of hope." No annual report would be complete without reference to ye old comfortable pew, the booth we set up in Stampede every year, the home of the holy hamburger and the heavenly hot dog. Even if this venture never made a nickel, I would be all for it. I believe it really does something for us as a parish in that 150 of us work together for a week. In passing, we need note that here again, we wouldn't be able to operate without teenagers. The fact that we cleared over $4,000 last year is a bonus. 2 years later, January 1972, he writes, "To describe the year just passed, one would have to say that it was one of the most interesting. In the spring, our financial position had reached such a state that we considered closing the doors. Thanks to the efforts of Fred Fenwick and his visitation committee, this position has been improved. We also owe a great debt to the Stampede Committee, which came up with the best year yet and a profit of roughly $6,000. These two functions have taken the wolf away from the door, and I would like to say thank you to all members of the parish for their help in these areas. I am also particularly grateful to the large number of parishioners who are involved in the outreach of the church. Here I include the members of the Anglican Church Women who labor sacrificially in Cedars Villa, the Clothing Bank, Riverside's Villa, hospital visiting, Meals on Wheels, the Welcome and Recreation Center, mental health, and other tasks. The leaders and members of the youth group also make a significant contribution not only to the parish, but to the community at large. Cubs, scouts, brownies, and guides, the Junior Auxiliary and Servers Guild with the youth group and the Sunday School give us a youth program which caters to all of the youth of our parish and community. Pastorally, I cannot say too much in praise of the AA, Al-Anon, and Alateen groups which meet in this parish. They are a great source of help and strength to me as I seek to minister to people beset with alcoholic problems. It's wonderful to see that many of these ministries and groups continue to meet here in the parish today, the guides and Al-Anon in particular." Well, the next rector after Reverend Green was Reverend Christmas. Yes, there was a Father Christmas here at the Church of the Good Shepherd. And in January 1974, he wrote these words, "Contrary to the impression held by some switchboard operators, the Church of the Good Shepherd is alive and well and living in Calgary. I feel that the time has come for us to take some words of St. Paul for our motto. Brethren, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And we can see his call to continue to look ahead and look forward. Well, in January 1975, he said, "In 1974, the condition of the parish was like to that of a patient recovering from a serious illness, far from dead, but still a long way from being fully recovered, alive and kicking, and very much aware that there are going to be better days in the future. The most obvious proof of this comes from a comparison of the financial statement for 1974 with that of 73. In 73, we had finished the year with a general account overdraft of $600. At the end of 74, that overdraft had been reduced to $40. As you read the reports of the organizations, you will find that there is a record of small but solid accomplishment and a sense of optimism running through all of them. As the church went through its struggles, it went on to a new priest, the Reverend Dixon came. And in January 1976, after being there almost a year, being here almost a year, he said this, "Since my family and I have come to the parish of the Good Shepherd, we have found a tremendously supportive community. We have attempted to renew the vitality of a parish that was supposedly down and out. I must profess to some rather shaky moments and thoughts before we came, but from the moment I saw those 7 or 8 cars pull up at our house to help us move on Boxing Day, I knew that we were about to meet some truly good and supportive people. That has proven true, and because of that support and interest, the Good Shepherd was never completely down and out, and we find ourselves on the road to recovery." That was January. At the end of February of that year, the bishop had had a service here and had made some comments at a service that caused some consternation and concern among the wardens and vestry. And so a letter was written. I believe Al is the one who drafted this letter, representing the vestry, and wrote this to the bishop. "Dear Bishop Goodman, the wardens of the Church of the Good Shepherd have been asked by the vestry to write to you in order to receive clarification regarding your remarks made at the 8 a.m. service at the Good Shepherd, February 29th. The wardens and vestry were disturbed by those remarks you made that implied that there was still the possibility of closing the Good Shepherd. Our delegation had recently been to the Hull Committee and were able to correct a number of financial errors in their unfavorable report. The Good Shepherd was thus not nearly the financial disaster as the original report portrayed. We must assume that as of February 29th, you had not been party to those financial changes that reported to the Hull Committee and that you based your remarks on incorrect information. We at the Good Shepherd have felt that with the near disasters of the past 4 years, and finally now all indications of a turnaround, that remarks implying the possibility of closing were ill-timed and irresponsible. It is futile to go on rebuilding if the axe of closing is to be held over our heads. We need definite assurances from you just what is your stand in this regard. Please give the above matters your earliest attention and reply. Well, it seems the bishop paid attention because the church is still here. And Reverend Dixon, 2 years later, January 1978 now, said this, "The year 1978 does hold much promise for our parish if we can find the strength to respond to the challenge which it holds. I compare our position to that of a skier. We have had a long climb to the pinnacle and are now looking over the vast challenge before us. If the challenge overwhelms us, our muscles will tighten, our knees will lock, and our shoulders will stoop. Then as we surge forward, we will find the way bumpy and rocky, and we will fall. However, if we analyze the last 3 years, we will realize that we have been in training for this opportunity and challenge. The adrenaline will flow, blood will surge to our muscles, our chest will expand to take in more air, and we will surge ahead full of confidence. We will soak up all the benefits of our training. We are capable of handling the challenge." The challenge is coming to us in many forms. The first challenge is to respond to this, our 20th anniversary. That is right. The first meeting of the vestry of the Church of the Good Shepherd was on June 10th, 1958. Remember the eight ladies who met in the first story? Why should we not celebrate? We have made it this far, and we will go further yet. The other challenge is to do something with that millstone, the parish debt. It would be wonderful if, on a major anniversary date, we could burn the mortgage and consecrate the church. The way it works in the Anglican Church is a church can only be consecrated by the bishop. In other words, deliberately and specifically set apart for the worship of God if it is unencumbered by debt and by legal ramifications. And so the desire was for the building to be consecrated, but the debt had to be retired beforehand. What better way to celebrate an anniversary than burning the mortgage? And I would sure hate to think about waiting another 5 years. While we ponder that thought, let us also recognize that our building is beginning to be used on a much more regular basis than in the past. It is being used by the community around us and by ourselves for recreation and for spiritual refreshment. It is good that our building be used in this way, the people of God providing hospitality to the world around them. And our building has continued to be used that way. Guides meet here Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday nights. We have two bell choirs that rehearse on Monday nights, two, one of them is ours, on Thursday nights. We have an Al-Anon group that meets Tuesday afternoons. We have the Bridge to Peace Threshold Choir that rehearses Wednesday nights. We have another church that is worshiping with us on Saturday and Sunday. Well, a year later, Reverend Dixon said this, "When I look back on early 1978, I am struck by one major event which took time, effort, and some pain to unfold. I refer to our near disastrous flirtation with our budget. You will recall that we were unable to accept a budget at our annual meeting simply because we did not have the pledges to do so. I felt that the parish drifted somewhat aimlessly, in direct contrast to preceding years, as we tried to struggle honestly with what our commitment should be. This was a trying time for all of us. We did manage to come out on top with a most plaudible effort by our parish family. This struggle has resulted in a growing maturity among all of us. I hope we have begun to come to grips with what real stewardship means. As in all of life, real Christian growth and maturity comes from real struggle and real effort. I feel that this drawn-out event set the tempo for our parish throughout the year. First of all, as I have mentioned above, it made us all aware of our own stewardship and our need to continually explore what our stewardship should be in time, effort, and goods. This is growing Christian maturity. Secondly, thanks to your final response to God's work, when we finally settled on a budget, we were able to pay off the church debt and celebrate the 20th anniversary with the consecration of the parish. On that day that special service was held, the service began with these words. To the Right Reverend Morse L. Goodman, Bishop of Calgary, we, the incumbent church wardens and other inhabitants of the Church of the Good Shepherd, acquiring land duly registered according to law on the 27th day of February in the year of our Lord 1954, on which there is a church, which we certify to be free from any legal encumbrance, do humbly pray you to separate the same from all profane and common uses, and to consecrate the said church, and set it apart forever for the worship of God, according to the rites and discipline of the Anglican Church of Canada. And so on the 20th anniversary of this parish, the debt was retired, and it was consecrated. And what a joyous occasion that must have been, especially all of the challenges of the years prior that they had been facing. The last verse of the recessional hymn that day said this, "Glory unto him who loved us, him who washed us with his blood, kings and priests henceforth forever to our Father and our God. Alleluia, saints and angels, raise your loudest, loftiest strains. Alleluia, hell is vanquished, God the Lord Almighty reigns." I can only imagine that everyone singing that verse was doing so with a very glad heart for what had become that moment of celebration. That was just a synopsis of the first 20 years of the church's history. 26 years after that, there was another opportunity for a similar celebration. Reverend Helen Belcher had led the church through the significant renovation of this facility into what you see now. And on July 8, 2004, she wrote this, "Dear friends in Christ, the exciting news is that we are in the process of moving back into the new old church. It is beautiful. Our first service will be July 18th, and our joint farewell service with the Lutherans with whom we have been worshiping will be July 11th. Moving back is going to be a new beginning for us all. God has placed in our hearts many new ventures that will fill our new home with happy voices and praise. In particular, look for news about our artist-in-residence program and new ventures for youth and children. The Lord has given us a wonderful blessing. Let us rejoice and be glad in him." Well, that artist-in-residence program continues, and that art studio is full Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays. "The Lord has given us a wonderful blessing," Helen said, when this church was redone. And those words still ring true today. The Lord has given us a wonderful blessing. That we are part of the Church of the Good Shepherd today is in itself a wonderful blessing. And the important thing for us to understand as we consider this, and if you haven't guessed it, it's Stewardship Sunday today. Our part of this story is what brings us here today. We did not just simply show up here as if this never existed before. But our stewardship of the Church of the Good Shepherd is about more than just simply what's happening today and what will happen in the future, but it's about recognizing what has happened in the past. What has been our story in the past, what generations before us have already done, that our stewardship today is continuing to be good custodians of that which was fought for in the first 20 years. When that mortgage was finally burned, that's part of our heritage and part of our obligation as we consider our stewardship commitments today. At the end of the service, you'll have opportunity to take home with you a pledge card indicating your intention of how you'd like to support the Church of the Good Shepherd financially in 2020. And as you take that home, I'd invite you to consider not just what is ahead, though that is certainly important, but to understand where we've come from and who has gone on before us and the trust that has been given to us that this building, which has been consecrated to the worship of God in perpetuity, would continue to be used for exactly that purpose. And so let me leave you with those thoughts. You're part of a grand story, and I'm glad that you're part of the church now, and look forward to continuing being part in years to come.